Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined from a safe distance by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hello.
And joining us on the bullpen phone, Chris Suk.
Very far away from Brian. Yes, hello.
What is that supposed to imply, Suk?
I'm just saying the COVID is just much more crazy in Manitoba. So we just got to...
Yeah, but like, why you got to specify? Why you got to call me out? Why am I single? What did I do to you?
I just wanted to get you revved up here, ready to go here, because we're taping this on a day earlier, so I thought you might be a little logy, so I like it already. You're ready to go. Fire you up.
I'm fired up.
It is true. If anything big happens on Thursday, we will miss it. We just, due to scheduling, had to tape on a Wednesday night this week.
We're like the NFL. We have to adjust the schedule. When it
yeah, Wednesday night football, Tuesday night football. Yeah, no, exactly. It's like, oh, you know what? We're only going to do football on, every day. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
They're taking a page from the baseball season. There could be baseball.
Actually, right now, they've missed only Friday right now. They'll have a Saturday. Oh, actually, I stand corrected. They're going to have a Friday. They're playing on Christmas Day.
Yeah, they got 3 games on Christmas Day, apparently.
Of course, why not? It's 2020.
Just what Santa wanted. I guess he's done delivering all the presents, and at that point, he's like, yeah, cool.
I don't know. I mean, like, Christmas Day games are kind of nice.
Yeah, the basketball has it too, right?
So I love watching the NBA on, you know, that's one of my favorite things to do with my old man is to sit down and watch the basketball on Christmas Day. And apparently the players love it. Apparently a lot of the players really like playing on Christmas Day.
If they
they get paid either way, so yeah. I'm sure.
Well, yeah, but I know, but I mean, like,
I don't know.
I've read and heard a couple of interviews. Antoine Jameson, Paul Pierce, Jalen Rose have all said that they liked playing on Christmas Day. So,
and a lot of those are playing on Christmas Day, I think. If some of those are, some
well,
still
Paul
might
Pierce
be.
Certainly isn't.
Well, no,
we're going to turn our attention to baseball, though, of course, because this is a baseball show.
Sure,
it's not a game of runs. I don't know. Do you want to start with the 2020 All MLB team? Is that of any?
I think it's cool. I definitely think that.
So
it's
just, is this new? Or
I think
they've
been doing it for three. This is the second or third season of it, and it's something they've been doing.
They
after,
took a page from the NBA. Actually.
Yeah, it's something they do after the season, and they award. Is it two teams? It's two teams, right, Mike?
Yeah.
And it's like a page from the NBA, and it's like whatever the best players at those positions, which is great. I think it's a really cool. I think it's a really cool thing.
Yeah.
And the selection process
I gotta be honest.
Half fan vote and half a panel of experts, which I kind of like. It's kind of the way that the NBA does the
all-star
decisions
vote.
With like the coaches and like that. It's not just there's a lot of fans of Mookie Betts and the Dodgers, so that's the.
I
only.
Mean, to be fair, there should be a lot of
there
fans
should
of
be.
Mookie Betts and the Dodgers,
but I'm just
maybe
I'm
not
just
the Dodgers,
like,
but
you know,
Mookie for sure.
You know, specific teams kind of like. Putting their thumb on the scale.
Yep. Yeah, like that one year.
Yeah, that, that one year the Royals had seven
starters.
That was a great year. Let me tell you, that was really good. That was outstanding.
Well, speaking of Royals,
if you wanna, you know, fill the ballots, you know, if you wanna overturn elections, that's how you do it.
Starting things off, right at center there, the captain, the catcher, Salvador Perez of the Royals is the first team catcher.
Great player.
So, you know, that's
incredible. Really good player.
He was one of those seven All-Stars and like unquestionably like the preeminent catcher in the American League. Like he's
one of the only catchers to ever win World Series MVP. So,
oh, I did not know that actually. And quite a good little, a nice little bounce back, right? Because he was overcoming some injuries over the last couple of years, and you know he's kind of regained his form, and that's good to see, right? I mean, hey, the Royals need some love because there's not much else going on right now. Mind you, they did have a little bit of a signing this week, so that's all right. So. Hot stove was a little bit heating up this week. We'll get to that in a while.
It's tepid. It's like you could, like
a little bit of a boil.
Well, you would if you were like heating up a bottle for a baby. You could put the bottle in the water that they've got on the stove right now.
This is new knowledge for me. I've never thought about or known anything about how to take care of a kid. So this is
Michael. He knows all about this.
These are things I've certainly learned these things over the years. Do you want me to just run through the positions here?
Yeah, please. Go through them.
So the first team, Freddie Freeman, DJ LeMahieu, Fernando Tatis, Manny Machado, rounding out your infield. And then in the outfield, you got Betts, Trout, and Soto. For the DH, they have Marcelo Ozuna. And then they have five starting pitchers and two relievers. So Shane Bieber. Yeah. Trevor Bauer, Yu Darvish, Max Fried, Jacob deGrom, and then Liam Hendricks and Nick Anderson.
That's the right call. I think the mostly the right call. I mean, like, it's based on the season, not on the playoffs, right? So,
yeah, because Trout wouldn't be there.
Well, I mean, I was going to say more about it probably.
Because Trout doesn't play in the playoffs. That's why I was going to say, because Trout doesn't play in the playoffs there, Brian.
Yeah, well, it's mostly not his fault, but yeah, sure.
Well, you know, he's supposed to be a superstar. That's another.
He is a superstar, Mike. Or, Zook. Come on. I get this from Mike all the time, so I'm getting mixed up. But
oh, I love
he
it.
Is a superstar. He's the best player
in
baseball.
I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying that superstars sometimes lead teams to playoffs. Occasionally.
In baseball, that doesn't happen because Mike Trout is worth 15 wins above replacement, doesn't stop the fact that his team is below replacement level around him.
Except Mookie Betts got two World Series.
Moves him up from
65
to 80 wins.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. But Boston also spent an insane amount of money. And the Angels also spent an insane amount of money. And did we forget that Boston cheated? Did we forget the part where Boston cheated? I haven't forgotten that part yet.
Did the Dodgers cheat this year?
Pretty sure no. They cheated the COVID protocols,
but they also
had an insane amount of money.
I love it. I'm just running your gears here, Brian. Don't worry about it. No, I think they're all solid. Yeah, they're a regular season because, yeah, Anderson, not so good in the playoffs.
He's really bad.
Yeah, that one.
He was really bad.
Thankfully not affected by this. On the second team.
Hey, go ahead. On the second team. No. I didn't know. I forgot there's a second team of this.
So JT Realmuto. was the catcher.
Yep.
Jose Abreu, Brandon Lowe, Corey Seager, and Jose Ramirez are your infield. And then Acuna, Yastrzemski, and Conforto are your outfield. Nelson Cruz.
Yastrzemski? I mean, I know he had a good year, but really? Okay. All right. Sure.
So then you've got Nelson Cruz at DH. Dinelson Lamet, Garrett Cole, Clayton Kershaw, Kenta Maeda, Hyunjin Ryu.
Hey.
And then Brad Hand and Devin Williams. I wonder, so, I mean, I'm just looking at the list here. So trying to think like if maybe the Yastrzemski and the Devin Williams ones are in part because there's no other rep from those teams. Like, I wonder if there was any.
No, there's no rule that says that you have to have a rep.
Yeah, it's not like the All-Star game or something like that.
It's just the best. It's just the two best players.
I like Williams. I think he was very solid this year. Yastrzemski, I would agree with Brian that
he had a good year, but like I don't know that I would have chosen him for, you know. I can't use wins above replacement because obviously that's, you know, not good for this year because it's such a small sample size, especially with this defensive metrics. But at the same time, like, did he really, was he really the, at the very worst, sixth best outfielder in the league? That seems strange to me.
Yeah, I'm just going to try to see, like, where he rated.
On Fangraphs, winners above replacement, he was second behind Mookie Betts.
I mean, you know, I'll be honest, this is such a new, like, it's, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't, I wouldn't, you know, this isn't going to change, I guess, Hall of Fame votes.
Triple slash line of 297, 400, 568, which is a really good slash line. 10 home runs, two stolen bases. Struck out almost double the amount of times he walked, which is kind of scary, but that's fine. Had a 160 WRC plus, which is pretty good. I'm stand corrected. That's a pretty good season.
I mean, I guess because it was happening on the Giants, none of us really necessarily noticed it. I maybe discounted him a little bit because I thought, you know, he was getting some ink because of his grandfather.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he got run last year because of his mostly because of his grandfather and the Giants.
The lineage, yeah.
Intentionally trying to be bad.
But he actually had...
But that's a
but
good.
Geez.
That's a good triple slash line. That's a good season. That's legitimately a, for the amount of games that got played. That's a, actually impressive. I am impressed.
It was nice to see Hyunjin Ryu there.
Yes.
Yes.
Kenta Maeda too.
Yeah, I think. I mean, obviously, this ends up being like
both,
the
both
top
traded last year, right?
Pitchers, but both.
Well, no,
Maeda was the Abreu.
Oh, right. Sorry.
No, they both changed teams in the same offseason.
No, I thought, yeah, I thought they were in the same offseason.
But Ryu wasn't traded. He was a free agent.
Oh, yeah, a free agent. Sure, sure. But here's the thing. Just think about the riches. Both were with the Dodgers, right?
Yeah.
And they both prospered on other teams this
and
year.
And then they
right?
like let those these are... guys go. They've got two guys who ended up in the top 10 of like starting pitchers on this list. And they,
yeah, the two guys they
lost those two guys and won the World Series.
The two guys that they replaced him with were just as good, if you believe the stats and metrics.
I guess, but the funny thing is, no Dodger pitcher was in the top 10, right?
No, Clayton Kershaw was.
Yeah, oh, sorry, Kershaw. Was.
Okay, but Kershaw. Okay, so but Kershaw was already there, right? Like, so I mean, yeah. He's been a pretty constant there, but yeah, I mean, overall, like, yeah, I mean, it's still pretty crazy, just like you know what they, yes, they could lose two players who become on these teams and they still won a World Series, right? So that's, you know, that's pretty very impressive. But yeah, I mean, hey, good for baseball. I'm for it too, right? I mean, we're always championing, you know, get more. Pub for all these guys, right? So if this can help a bit in the offseason, why not?
Right, and this is centered around specific players in the hopes, I think, of like kind of raising their Q rating a little bit and getting
I mean, that said players. Let's not pump up MLB too much. You know, this is going to be a one-day hit and then see you later, that's it, right? But, you know, I mean, at least it's they're trying, right? And it's the problem is, again, this is also because of maybe COVID this year and stuff. But you know, hopefully they once we you know after 2020 is done, we get back to normal. Maybe MLB does a bigger you know postseason. You know, they use the MLB Network and stuff, but they can use you know like the NFL obviously is the king in North America. They do it very well with their award show and stuff like that. They make a lot of pomp and circumstance. And I think that's what Major League is still always missing a bit.
Right. Well, pivoting off of this list, it is interesting to note how many of these guys are kind of on the block, on the, you know, potentially trade or going to end up on another team.
Before we get to the hot stuff, hold on 1 second. You also were amiss. There was also another award that was given out this week, the Roberto Clemente.
Oh, award. Yes. Okay.
And I believe that was Freeman and Abreu for the White Sox for the NL and AL award winners. So again, I hate to say this, but this is the problem: is we're all very big into Major League Baseball, and we kind of miss because they just kind of happen sometimes, right? And so again, it's fantastic award, you know, but epitomizes sort of the dedication in the community, plus also on the ball field, and you know, great ambassadors to the game, and sort of gets lost a bit. And that's unfortunate, right? Because it's a great award, and great players were deservingly received it this year.
Right. Obviously, I mean, Abreu and Freeman, two of the best. They're both, I mean, they're team one and team two on this list.
Yeah.
Deserving of all, every accolade and
no, you know what? When I say that, I'm totally wrong here. As I said this, I totally foot and mouth. I believe it was the Hank Aaron Award that was given out this week.
Not the
Clemente. No, the Clemente Award did get given out this week. I just think you might have the I think you
do
might
do I have the wrong recipients wrong recipients? Sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe I've got him. Maybe Abreu won the Clemente. I see the here you go. Did both of them get awarded this week by any chance? Because then that's
yes. Okay. So the Hank Aaron Award is the award that you guys clamor for, where it should when you guys talk about, oh well, there should be an award for best player. That's what the what the Hank Aaron Award is, and that's the award you're thinking of. Alan Wainwright won the award, the Roberto Clemente Award.
I stand corrected. Yes, that's right. Okay, so the Hank Aaron was Freeman and Abreu, and Alan and Wainwright was for the Roberto Clemente. See, this is the problem. I should know this, and we should all know this, and it gets all muddled a bit here. And I get it that they're trying to stagger it out during a week, but anyways, I just proved my point by giving the wrong award to players.
Well, this is a bit like trying to remember like who won the best adapted screenplay at the Oscars by the time they get to best picture at the end of the night.
Right. That's actually a very good analogy there, Michael. Very well done.
So as I was trying to pivot before about the hot stove, several names on this list are on the block and rumors are swirling. I don't know if you saw the latest about Trevor Bauer, either of you, but apparently the Angels heavily in on him. Bauer grew up around the Los Angeles area and obviously is one of the top available pitchers.
Right?
Yeah. And one of the top available pitchers. And that's a team that, you know, I mean, don't they need, but like,
yeah, I guess that's fair. Yeah, I mean it's mostly pitching, right? They do have good hitting with Trout and Adele Rendon. And Fletcher and
Rendon,
yeah. They have good hitting. Yeah. And I guess too when he's healthy. So they've got good hitting. It's just a matter of really, really getting good pitching to kind of back that up, because their pitching has been horrendous for years now. I don't remember the last time the Angels had a good pitching staff.
That
well, it's kind like of Gary Richards why they can't
got injured,
the playoffs.
Right? Like,
maybe that's going back a bit. Yeah, but there's a correlation why they don't make the playoffs, right? You don't have pitching. You're not going to get there, right?
It doesn't matter if Mike
pretty
Trout.
Hard could, to win games when Mike Trout can't hit every homer.
Yeah, exactly. And even if Mike Trout went 4-for-4 with four home runs, that pitching staff still gives up over four runs a game. So
Brian, here's my question to you. Before the end of this month, are we going to get an announcement from the Blue Jays about making a splash in the free agency?
No.
Because I feel they need to do it, right? Don't they?
They might get that Korean kid that just got posted.
The one who just got posted?
Yeah, Kim. He's a infielder, plays second and third base, is really, 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 really good, apparently, allegedly. And he's been talking to Hyunjin Ryu about how great of a city Toronto is, which is funny because Ryu's never pitched there, but...
and he might not this year as well.
At least as a Blue Jay. So it's, yeah, I just, but they, you know, talking about what a great organization, he's been talking about what a great organization it is. Right. So, you know, if we can get another Korean player, that'd be really cool. I'm down for that.
Yeah. But what about like Lindor and Springer and all the big
I mean,
names?
I'd like all those guys, please, all of them. But, and Frankie has come out and said publicly that he's interested in signing a long-term deal with the Blue Jays. And Cleveland said that I think they're just haggling this point. for Frankie, because it sounds like the Lindors, the Titos, the Cleveland professional baseball franchise, it's gonna be weird. They want Lourdes Gurriel, and Alejandro Kirk, and then another prospect. And I think the Jays organization is really interested in hanging on to Kirk. And I think that might be the hang up. And if I'm them, I'm saying make that trade. Because as much as you might like Alejandro Kirk, he is a overweight catcher with 20 games of big league experience. Whereas Francisco Lindor is what, like the fourth or fifth most famous and like maybe the second best shortstop in baseball. So I think you make that deal. I think you make that deal, especially because you have two other catching prospects and enough dough in the bank that if you really, really, really wanted to, you could probably go out and sign Realmuto. So just make the trade, boys.
That would
bring
be
Frankie
nice.
Home.
Toronto does love their catcher prospects, though, don't they?
Oh, God. JPR and don't get me started. JPR and Cebia, a whole bunch of other ones. Greg Zahn. Travis d'Arnaud. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh, never ending. We don't want to trade our catcher prospects.
Okay. I mean, even Jansen. I mean, you know.
Well, that's,
I mean,
I think, yeah.
And, you know, like how is he panned out? I mean, they raved about him. He's okay.
He's good.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, is he like, you know, I don't know. I mean, the way they pump up a lot of these guys sometimes.
He's a top 10, and then, I think he's a top 10 catcher in the league.
All right.
I think he's a top 10 catcher in the league.
Okay. Hey, Michael, I want to say congratulations. I believe I just read tonight it's official.
Did Nelson Cruz sign?
No, but okay. The Saints are coming home. The Saints are coming to town. They're officially the Triple A affiliate of the Minnesota Twins.
Sorry, I thought we were still talking again. I know that they're still in talk, so I was like, "Oh gosh, did I miss the fact that that's done?" Yeah. So the Saints, so they're leaving the American Association, and I am a little bummed that they won't be. I don't know what this foretells for the American Association.
Well, I'll say this: I looked it up. There was only six teams playing this year. So,
I mean, that was in part,
and that was a premier
limitations
team.
Of
sure, COVID, yeah,
COVID, right? Like that, and but, you know, obviously Winnipeg played out of Fargo because they couldn't cross the border.
Well, the three most important teams in the American Association are and had been for 20 years: the Saints, the Red Hawks, and the Goldeyes.
Yeah,
and without one of those, and the Saints were and still are, I guess not anymore, but were the biggest draw. Still drew the most people, not the Goldeyes, not the Red Hawks, the Saints consistently outdrew a lot of other teams, every other team in that league. And without the biggest drawing team, it's going to be tough. It's not good.
And I read here that they're going to be joining the International League, the Saints. So,
yeah.
So it's interesting because Major League Baseball is kind of shaking up the old minor league system, right? They're reducing some of the affiliates, and it looks like a lot of teams are going to sort of what Minnesota is doing is like closer to home, right? To reduce some of the costs. But it's going to be interesting. Like the Saints was always kind of that independent vibe. So hopefully they keep it. And but I mean, I think overall it's nothing but a positive for the Twins.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly like, they've got that new ballpark. And so, you know, having a nice new facility for their AAA team. But then in terms of being able to demote or call up a player, it's like a 20-minute ride.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's literally just get on the highway and drive around the highway there to the target field, and you can drop them off.
It'd be like if the Jets had a team in Steinbach.
Well, they have a team right in the same building, but yeah.
Yeah, but let's move it out. Yeah, but I know where Michael's going, but yeah, it is. But for baseball, that's pretty incredible.
For baseball, that's unheard of.
Yeah,
it's different. It's different. I mean, it'll make for cool trips for you, Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's a great ballpark. Like, I mean,
it's a really nice ballpark. Yeah.
Really nice, and it's just in general. Like, I mean, also now you get to see the next, hopefully the future Twins, right? So that's sort of a good selling point for the Saints now going forward, is watch the Twins before they become Twins, right?
Exactly. Now, I haven't seen any details about. So it was Mike Vec, Bill Vec's son, and right. Bill Murray are some of the partners involved in owning the Saints.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're still
there. So I think the Twins, what I read is the Twins are going to be a minor stakeholder, but the Vec and Murray kind of combination is still going to be majority owners. So they're kind of, it sounds like they're going to try and keep the Saints as independent as it can be, but uh-huh. in the AAA sort of affiliation, I guess, because the Saints sort of have that, that independent vibe, right?
So they right. I mean, they got the pig that brings out the balls to the umpire and stuff like that, like.
Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it can't hurt. I mean, what they're doing is successful, right? In baseball, you want to mimic some of that, right? Because they're actually successful in what they've been doing for almost 30 years now, right? So, yeah, I mean, it's good for the Twins. It's sad for the Goldeyes because I'm not too sure where they go from here and if that league folds, right?
Speaking of the Goldeyes, did you guys see that and potentially foreboding things. Did you guys see Sam Cates bought another baseball team?
I did not see that, no.
Yeah, the Ottawa Titans, brand new team in Ottawa playing in the Frontier League. Sam Cates and the Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group are the owners.
Interesting.
Which is, I think, partially owned by Eugene Melnyk, which it doesn't surprise me that those two guys have gone into business together. and Sammy signed my paychecks for a number of years. Love you, Sammy. But
there you go. There you go.
It's not great. The owner of the Goldeyes buying another baseball team, probably not a good sign.
Well, also,
finally sign the agreement with the city over
Shopper? Yeah, but it. You know, the fish are having to pay a lot more money than they previously did, and certainly a lot more money than he says that they're viably able to afford, which I don't believe, but that's not stopped owners from relocating or removing teams before.
But also, it's just going to be weird because depending where they're playing, if they are playing next year, are they even playing in Winnipeg again, right? Is COVID going to be done by then? Can they get the games? Probably, hopefully, but who knows what league they're playing in, right? So that's going to be all a big question mark going forward.
Well, I mean, news that that Winnipeg is getting small amounts of the vaccine as of next week or the week following, I think. So I kind of expect us to have baseball in the city next summer.
Let's hope so. That would be cool. Hey, do we have a quick minutes here, Michael? I just wanted to talk.
Yeah, I think we got a few minutes.
The Players Alliance. I sort of mentioned this last week, and I just wanted to mention it just because I wanted to highlight something positive, because sometimes we rail a lot of negative on Major League Baseball or just in general. But the Players Alliance is out and about. This is about 100 plus Black former or a current Black Major League Baseball players who are kind of spearheading this to get awareness out and also give opportunity in professional baseball for African Americans, Black baseball community members. And what they're doing right now is fantastic. I just looked this up. They've rolled from they started in the Bronx and they're going all the way to Oakland from now until the end of January, and they're got this caravan, sort of this RV, and they're dishing out more than $1 million to different Black communities with for food, for COVID, for baseball equipment, all this stuff. And I just think, again, I wish more people would know about this, right? Because this is an amazing community outreach and endeavor. I just don't think, I think it falls a lot on deaf ears a bit because I don't think a lot of people know about it.
Well, I did happen to hear CC Sabathia was a guest on the Bill Simmons podcast, and he did talk a little bit about this. Curtis Granderson is the president of the Players Alliance. CC's vice president, and Edwin Jackson, E-Jax, is the secretary. E-Jax.
Nice. No, I mean, and it just started up sort of very similar, kind of with the NHL initiative as well, and this is there's nothing but a positive about this, right? The outreach to get awareness and to get on these communities. And it sounds like they've been more than the pictures I've seen online, their social media is just phenomenal. Like they've just got a lot of people really supportive and welcoming arms for this initiative. So hopefully it's a start for this to build in the years to come.
Interesting to note, they have a minor league player committee as part of their organization too. So unlike the Major League Baseball Players Association, which sometimes leaves the minor league players out to dry, it's interesting to note that the Players Alliance seems to have built some sort of relationship or structure around minor league players.
It's pretty cool, honestly.
No, that's really smart too.
Minor right? league players need more support.
100%. I mean, we can talk endlessly down the road about that because they've been kind of got the shaft this year, definitely with the COVID and then just in general, now what's happened with all these affiliates, right? So there's just going to be a ton of baseball players just left in the dust.
So folks can go to theplayersalliance.com if they want info on the organization. Thanks for mentioning that, Zook.
No worries.
With that, I guess we'll wrap on a positive note and we will be back here next Friday.
And I will stay at least 12 feet away from Brian next week as well.
Yeah, those orders are still in effect.
At least between me and Brian, yes.
Come on, man. That's just rude. I think you're a nice person, Zook. You don't gotta do me like this. Come on.
And remember, you know, this is, you know, coming from the host of the pity party. So, you know, it's all good. We're all happy.
Don't forget to tune into the pity party.
That's right. See, look at that. We just give you a little pub there, Brian. So it's all good.
Thanks.
That's it for the Best Jockeys this week. Thanks for tuning in.
Strike three. You're out.